Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He is faithful. He is loving no matter what. And if we just wait on Him, He will give us His strength. That's what the Bible promises us. We'll be right back. God is everlasting. He's above all the things that we could ever possibly imagine. During this next song, I've got a couple screenshots on the up there that'll be showing images from the Hubble Space Telescope. My son loves it because he thinks it's cool, but I don't think he even grasps how big the universe really is. And I don't think I even grasp how big it really is. But today we're going to be thinking about how God is the God over all creation, and so I want to invite you. I want to invite you, as you see some of these images on the screen, to think about how big God must be in order to have made all that.
Darkness tries to hide.
trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Lord God, we just want to thank you for being so good to us. You're so big and huge and amazing that you could easily just ignore us. But you have chosen not to. You've chosen to pay attention to us, even hear us when we pray, and answer us when we call. More than that, to send your Son Jesus to die for us, to live for us, so that we can know you better. How great you are. We stand here together and we confess that we have this last week ignored your greatness. We have this last week pursued other things that we thought were great. We have filled our lives with things that we thought would satisfy. And we have not sought you out as our number one. So God, here in this place, would you just forgive us? Would you just cleanse us? Would you empty us out? Would you dig down deep into our hearts and fill us with more than you, more of you. Fill us with more of you, more than we've ever known before. Be our number one, be our everything to us.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Amen. He is surely great. He is surely great. I want to invite you right now to share his greatness with someone near you. It's a sense that there's something more in life. It's a hunger for something deeper, for something more significant beyond the surface. The symbol for the series is an iceberg that you only see the top, but you know there's a great deal of something underneath. And I think we feel that way about life. Before I moved to Lafayette, I came here with a video camera and I did some videotaping of the area so that I could use those videotapes as, use those clips as ways to raise money for this new church that we were planning on getting started. And so I remember one point I took the video camera into a store, which ironically is right around the corner here. It's a store called Castle Brooks Spiritual Supply. And it's right around the corner. If you go down 6th Street to Columbia, turn left, it's right around the corner there. I walked into that store because I thought, Spiritual Supply, that sounds interesting. And I met a lady named Rain, and I interviewed her. I said, can I interview you on camera? And she said yes, and because I wanted to show you the Matrix. I didn't show you the other clip. I didn't bring the other clip of interviewing Rain. But I'll just tell you what she said. I asked her, is Lafayette a spiritual community? She said, yeah, she thinks Lafayette's a very spiritual community. And I was looking around in her room, in her store there, and she has a little Buddha here, and a little cat here, you know, porcelain cat, and some incense things, and tarot cards, and all kinds of spiritual things. And they're all over the place. And so I asked her, you know, do you get a lot of business? And she said, well, I get some. And we had this interesting conversation. I'll share with you more of it some other time. But I met her just a couple weeks ago. It's been over 2 years since I had that interview. But just a couple weeks ago, I ran into her on the street, and I said, Rain, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm doing great. I said, really, how's business? She said, well, I tell you, she told me this interesting story. She said, we used to be in the Yellow Pages, and because the Yellow Pages doesn't have a generic category for spiritual, we were under the Yellow Pages, in the Yellow Pages, under Christian Supplies. Because they didn't have anything generically spiritual, generically religious. And she said, I just got a phone call from the Yellow Pages lady this last year, and they said, do you want to be listed again? And she said, well, I'm not really sure, because we're really about more than just Christianity. We're about more supplies than just that. And she told the Yellow Pages lady that she wanted a different category, and the Yellow Pages lady said, well, how about the occult? And she said, well, all right. And she picked that. And so now her business is listed in the Yellow Pages under the occult. And her business has doubled in the last year. People here in Lafayette are drawn to that. They're hungry for something. We live in a world where people are hungry for something deep, something spiritual, something that goes beyond the normal way of life, something that goes farther than what they've currently experienced. And yet Christianity, they know about Christianity, and they, you know, they want something different, something deeper, something more, they think. And so they're looking for other things. And now her business has doubled because she's listed under the occult. Well, I tell you what, I believe that we are hungry like this, and that our world is hungry like this. And I think that there are two things wrong with us that make us not experience the spiritual depth that God wants us to have. After all, God is the one who wired us with the desire for spiritual depth. He's the one who put it in our souls for this. And so if you have your note sheet in the bulletin there, let me invite you to pull it out. We've also got some Bibles up here that you're going to need. And so if you don't have a Bible, you need to raise your hand and we'll get a Bible passed out to you, or you can just come right on down the aisle and pick one up. But
Guys in the back, could we have the house lights all the way up so that we can read together and take notes if we want to? Go ahead and bring them all the way up. The first problem I think that we have when it comes to this whole issue of wanting to have more spiritual depth in our life. Our first problem is the problem of ignorance. I should be able to get these blanks up on the screen there. There they go. The first problem is the problem of ignorance. How many of you have ever owned a fish? Like a goldfish. If you put a goldfish in a tank this size, how big does the fish get? About this big, right? Something like that? Nod at least to let me know you're breathing. You know, otherwise we'll have to call 911. Okay, if you put a goldfish in a tank this big, how big is it going to get? It's going to get about that big, right? And if you put a goldfish in a lake, the thing can actually grow. These tiny little goldfish carp can grow to be about that big if they're in a large enough body of water. Friends, I want to tell you that your soul will expand to the level of knowledge that you give it. And I'm saying ignorance is a problem in our lives, not because we're stupid, but because we don't know the right things. We don't have the right kind of knowledge. The knowledge that we need, the knowledge of drawing close to God and experiencing Him in all His depth, is not necessarily the right kind of knowledge. And what happens in our lives is we will search and search and search in the wrong places. Some people search in the Yellow Pages, and they find a store that says the occult, and they say, well, maybe that's where I can find it. And some people search in science, and some people search in philosophy. And what will happen is that as we begin to progress in the search, we're going to gain knowledge, of course. God designed us to grow in knowledge. And so we gain knowledge, and then we begin to feel like our soul has expanded. But friends, listen to me. If the only knowledge we ever gain is the knowledge of other human beings, then our soul can never go any deeper than humanity. Our soul can never go any deeper than the experience of other just humans. Unless we have some type of knowledge that touches the truth of the divine, we're never going to go deeper than ourselves. Our souls are going to stay shallow. It's our first problem, I think, is the problem of ignorance. The second problem is the problem of complacency. One of my favorite stories as a child was a book called The Magician's Nephew. And The Magician's Nephew is one of the Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you have seen the recent movies, Prince Caspian, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe? Yeah, big, you know, grandiose storyline. So you kind of know a little bit of what's happening. The basic idea is that in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you've got these kids who find themselves in another world. It's the land of Narnia. They get there through a magic wardrobe, and I used to think that was awesome, that was amazing, it would be cool to just enter into other worlds. Well, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe only has one world, one group of kids going into one other world. In The Magician's Nephew, the kids find a whole world of worlds. It's this area where there's gigantic puddles all around them, and every time they jump into a different puddle, they're in a different world. And I was fascinated by that story because I thought, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to just experience thousands of different kinds of worlds, a life beyond this current experience? And as a child, I would visualize that and imagine about it and pretend. And as I grew older, I began to realize it was fiction, and I hated that, and I had to learn to live with the real world, and my soul shrank a little bit. Living in the real world kept me a little bit shallow, and I think a lot of us have done that, spiritually speaking. You know, we go through phases in our lives where we press on to know God more. We press on to know Him deeper. But if we don't begin to experience what we think we should experience, if we don't begin to get the sense of God the way other people claim to have the sense of God, it's too easy for us to just simply say, it's too hard. And we pull back and say, I'm just going to live with the real world. I'm not going to press on anymore. What that does is it creates in us not just a shallow soul, but a shallow soul that has hard ground on the bottom. But this is not where God wants us to be. God did not design us to have shallow souls. He did not design us to be ignorant and complacent. He designed us to experience Him in all of His wonderful depth, in all of His hugeness, in all of His greatness. And so this next series, this next month, the month of September, I am calling you to join me to expand our souls, to grow deeper, to grow fuller, to get a bigger picture of who God is, and to allow Him to go deeper into our souls. If you're willing to do that, I can help you out with the ignorance part. I can help you by explaining the truth of God's Word, particularly in this passage called Colossians. We're going to be going through a book, a letter that Paul wrote called Colossians. I can help you with the ignorance part, but you're the only one who can help you with the complacency part. And you have to actually ask yourself the question, am I willing to dig a little deeper? Am I willing to press on down a little further and allow God's Word to sink in just a little bit more and to live it out just a little bit more so that I experience God in all of His depth, all of His fullness? If you are, I want to give you some encouragement today, because this is the number one heart passion of the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote Colossians. I've quoted a couple verses here for you. Colossians 1:9 says this. Paul is writing to the people in Colossae, and he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul says, as soon as he heard about what God had done in the people in Colossae, he began praying for them, and he said, "I pray that God would fill you to gigantic levels, would fill you up with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom." If you're taking notes in your Bible or on the note sheet, just circle that word all spiritual wisdom. See, Paul is praying that his hearers, the people who read this letter, including you and I today, would be able to encounter all spiritual wisdom. Every bit. In all its depth. Look at what he says in Colossians 2. He says, "I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you, and for all those at Laodicea," another church nearby, "and for all who have not met me personally, my purpose is that they may be encouraged." Listen, you haven't met Paul personally either. So this purpose here is for you and me too. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Listen, Paul says, "I don't want anyone to deceive you. I don't want anyone to shake you up. So I'm going to point you to the truth. All treasure of spiritual wisdom and knowledge, all of it is hidden in Christ. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge hide in Christ." Everything. We've just come through a series where we were looking at the words of Jesus in the Gospels and what He has to say to you and to me. And I hope some of that sunk into you. But I just want to encourage you once again that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, every bit of spiritual depth that there is to have, is in Christ. And I'm going to prove that to you today, I hope, by looking at what Paul writes in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. So, if you have your Bible, would you flip there? Colossians is a tiny little book in the middle of the New Testament. So you're going to have to get there, because I'm reading a large section here that's not going to be printed on your page. It's not on the screen. But if you're looking for it, it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those come after the big books of Corinthians. So if you're in the New Testament, you can find one of the big books of Corinthians, go a little farther, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. That's where we're going to be. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 all the way through 20 right now. And I'm going to read this slowly, so follow along, because we're going to see what Paul has to say about Jesus. Why is it that Jesus has all treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Here it is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is deep, and the language Paul uses here for Jesus should bring to our minds something huge, something that we have only scratched the surface of. If we look at his words, we've only scratched the surface of who Jesus is. If we were even able to see him, give him a hug, handshake, pat him on the back, have him pat us on our back, whatever, if we could actually be in his presence, we'd only see a sliver of who he is. So just draw out how deep Jesus really is. The first thing Paul says is that he is the image of God. He is the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word there for image is the letters E-I-K-O-N. You pronounce it icon. How many of you have any experience with icons? I'm not talking about the Greek Orthodox icons where there's a picture on the wall with a person with a halo behind them. I'm talking about these kind of icons. The kind of icons that look like, how many of you know what this is? Shout it out.
Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer. You guys are awesome. You know Windows. Well, let's test you. Do you know this one? Windows Media Player. Oh, yeah. What about this one? Oh, no. Be more specific. Microsoft Word. A little more specific. It is a document for Microsoft Word. It's not the program. It's a document, okay? And this one is? Microsoft Outlook. Okay, I picked a whole bunch of Microsoft ones. Now to test how many of you are elite, I have this one. Good guess, but you're still in the Windows kind of mentality. Think Apple. Yeah, it's the call button on the iPhone. Now, let's just assume I have one of these things sitting on my desktop on my computer. And I decide that I don't like that picture sitting on my computer. I like the desktop to be prettier than that. And I don't like that picture to sit on my desktop because it's irritating, it's distracting from the beautiful background of snow that I have on my desktop. And I want to clean up my desktop, and since I don't like that picture, because that's a really awkward, weird-looking picture that doesn't mean a whole lot, I'm just going to drag that picture to the trash can and get rid of it. Is that what you do? What happens if I do that? Come on, computer gurus, what happens if I drag it to the trash can? The recycle bin. Yeah, it's not called the trash can really anymore. It's the recycle bin. Anyway, it's in there. What happens is the document is gone. If I drag the picture to the trash or the recycle bin, the document is gone. See, I can't see the document. It's somewhere on my hard drive. And I've opened up computers before. You can take them out. You can take out those hard drives that are inside. You can even open up a hard drive and look on the inside of it. And what you'll see is not a whole bunch of really cool documents that you've spent your life writing. What you'll see is a brown piece of metal, maybe gray or something like that. It's just right there. And somehow, all of your life's treasures are on that. Invisible. Cannot be seen. And the only way you can connect to them is through that. See, that's what the Bible tells us Jesus is in relation to God. It says he is the image, or in Greek, the icon of the invisible God. You can't see God. He's a spirit. You can't go to where he is because he's everywhere, everywhere, but we can't, you know, touch him. He doesn't have a body. But even though he's invisible, Jesus is the icon. He's the representative. He's the image of the invisible God. And so whatever you know about God, you find in Jesus. Whatever is true about God, you will find in Jesus. Because he is the way you connect to God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? We're going to look at the rest of these, but I want to make sure that we've sort of got this image in our head first, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Everything that's true about God is true about Jesus. Whatever God is, Jesus is. That means the rest of these make perfect sense. That means he's also the Lord of creation, its agent, and its sustainer. You see what Paul says here? He says, for by him all things were created. How many times have you thought of Jesus as the one who created the universe? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. By him all things were created. God did everything in creation through Jesus. He's the agent. God says, let us make man. And Jesus is the one who says, all right. He bends down and he does it. God says, let there be light. And Jesus is the one who flips the switch. God says, let. And Jesus does. Because whatever God is, Jesus is. The two are intertwined. They are unfathomably united and yet distinct. We don't understand the gravity of what this is, but we just accept that Jesus somehow is far deeper than just a man who walked on the earth 2,000 years ago. His soul goes deep. He's the agent and sustainer even of creation. It also says he's the head of the church. And he got to be the head of the church because he's the one who died and came back to life, which is what started the church. The church is the group of people who are committed to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so because Jesus is the first one who walked that path, he's the head, the source, the originator. He's the one in charge. He's the founder. He's the CEO. He's the CFO. He's the CTO. He's everything. In fact, the next thing we see is that not just is Jesus head of all this stuff, the next line Paul uses is to say, so that in everything, Christ might have the supremacy. Jesus is supreme with all the fullness of God. Now, this is something I don't fully grasp, okay? Because God is huge. I mean, if the universe, if science is telling us accurately that the universe is 15 billion light years across, or maybe, depending on how you do the math, 30 billion light years across, if the universe is that gigantic, and if the Milky Way really does have a billion stars in it, and if there really are a billion galaxies like the Milky Way, and if the universe is that big, and God made it all, and is everywhere at all the same time, he's huge. Now, how can the fullness of God dwell in Christ? Fullness. I think of the movie Aladdin. I saw it not too long ago, where the genie is describing how he's got immense power. Something like that. Because he's in a lamp, you know. Itty-bitty living space. And I think God, you know, gigantic in Jesus. That's pretty small. There's something about the human soul. Because if Jesus, fully human, born of a woman here on earth, if he's fully human, as the Bible affirms he is over and over again, able to live, able to die, if he's human, and his soul can contain the fullness of God, there is more to the human soul than we understand. The soul can go deep, really deep, far beyond what I think we're able to comprehend. We're going to strike this even a little bit more firmly just in a little bit, but let's read one last thing that it says about Jesus. It says, he's not just supreme with all the fullness of God, he's also the agent of reconciliation. Now check this out. If he created the universe, if he's in charge of the universe, if he holds all things together, why does the universe need to be reconciled back to God the Father? Look at verse 21 with me. Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. There was a time in your life where you were distant from God. Maybe that's today. Maybe you could say of yourself today, I still am feeling distant from God. The depth that he is, I'm not aware of. I'm distant from God. And Paul says the reason for alienation between you and God is evil behavior. A life outside of God's will. And all of us were like that at one point. Whether you're like that today or not, we all have been there. That's how we were born. We lived for a long time doing our own thing, and only those people who have recognized the redemption power of reconciliation, that Jesus can bring us back to God, those people can know God. But the rest of us are just alienated. Look at what it says. It says, you were alienated, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith. Listen, Paul is saying there that Jesus, because of him and because of what he's done, he has provided reconciliation between us and God. We can be reconciled to God. So in Christ, the fullness of God exists to create, to sustain, and to restore. The power of God, the fullness of God exists in Christ to create, to sustain, and to restore. And I know some of you are in a place right now where you need new life created in you. And some of you are in a place right now where you're saying, God, I just need you to sustain me. And I know some of you are in a place right now where you're saying, God, I need you to restore me and bring me back. But Jesus has the power to do that. So that's how deep he is. My question for you and me to think about, just as we kind of draw this whole concept to a close, is how deep are you? How deep are you and I? Have you ever had an epiphany where all of a sudden you recognize something deeper about yourself? You know, I've heard people say this all the time. Some of you I know are into physical training, weightlifting, stuff like that. And when you're working with someone for the first time, or when you, for the first time, go out and exercise, quite often the next day you will hear someone say this phrase, man, I'm sore in places I never knew I had muscles. You know, I've got muscles I never knew existed before. And, you know, I'm sore on the inside part of my kneecap, underneath here. I didn't even know I could be, you know, stuff like that, where all of a sudden you realize something more about yourself than you knew before because you worked it. Now you worked it and you realize something deeper about yourself. Well, something happened to me, you know, on an emotional level that I think all of you are going to think, you're going to think even worse of me after I show you this than you think right now, okay? Because I am an absolute loser when it comes to math, in the sense of, I really like it. This, my friends, is the most beautiful thing in the world of math. I've read quotations on this that compare it to Shakespeare. I'm almost tearing up a little bit. If you know math, you know that this is amazing. I'm joking with you a little bit, but I'm serious, it is. Because E is a number no one cares about. It's 2.71835, something like that. No one really cares about it. I is an imaginary number. When I first heard of imaginary numbers, I thought, it's imaginary. Anyway, pi is another number that people don't care about too much unless they're eating it, but it's 3.14159265. I know that one a lot better. One that we like. But if you add all that stuff up to one, it gets up to zero. And the reason it's beautiful is that it draws together concepts in math that are far different from each other, that are present in all kinds of weird circumstances, and yet you put them together and it makes zero. It's like, what? And I know it doesn't mean anything to you, but when I was in the math class where this was put on the board and explained to me, I had an epiphany. I had a spiritual moment right then. My brain was bigger. And God and His creation and His power at making beauty in the most inane, weird parts of the created world expanded in my mind, and my soul grew a little bit. Friends, I want to challenge you today that you might find your soul growing in the next couple of weeks. And I think that's okay. But I want to give you three truths today that are found in this passage of Paul. Three truths that show you how big your soul really is. Truth number one is that your failures have been removed. Go back to Colossians verses 21 through 22 where we just were. And Paul says this phrase in there. He says in verse 22, "Now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusations." Your failures, whatever they may have been removed through Jesus. Every failure, every shortcoming, every fault, they've all been taken away. They've all been removed. And so friends, all the stuff that's been in your soul, making it more shallow. All those things filling up your soul, your own sense of guilt, your own sense of shame, your own sense of pride. All those things that have been filling up your soul, Jesus, when He comes in, He can just dig them all right out and remove them. He takes them away. Your failures, your shortcomings, your guilt, your shame, your pride, your arrogance, all of it. He can dig it all out. And there's far more to your soul once all that stuff gets out of there. Number two, the second truth is that the hardest work has already been done. The hardest work has already been done. You see, Jesus died on a cross so that you and I don't have to. And then Paul also says that He's suffered. Friends, listen, you have the glorious privilege of being the recipients of 2,000 years of other people's hard work. Other people have worked tirelessly to bring the truth of the good news of Jesus to you. And that should expand your soul a little bit. To know that so many people have worked so hard throughout so many years to bring this truth to you. It should expand your soul a little bit. But here's the final thing. And it's in Colossians. I'm going to read the passage to you first. It's in Colossians 1:26. Paul says this, starting in 25. Paul says that he's become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The third truth is that Christ can fill you, and He will fill you. The fullness of God is in Christ. And Paul tells us that by His Spirit, Christ can fill you. And for those of you who have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, the promise is that He has filled you, and your soul goes as deep as his own. Your soul is united with Christ in God. God in Christ, Christ in you. It's a mystery, Paul says. Deeper than we can possibly imagine. I remember when I was in high school, I was in this little group of other, you know, high school kids. And we started a Wednesday morning prayer group where we would meet together before school at like 6:30 on Wednesday morning. Yeah. I was up at 6:30 on Wednesday morning for prayer. Yeah. I don't know many other high schoolers who did that except for the four that were with me. But we got together. And I remember one morning we were there on a hill overlooking my hometown of Apple Valley. It's called Hospital Hill. We were on top of this hill. And I had my guitar and my hands were freezing. Because it was like, I don't know, it was like 5 degrees outside or something. And I was freezing. We were all cold, but we were just singing. I remember one point I couldn't play the guitar anymore, and so we just were singing the song. We were singing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. As we were singing that song, we got to that line, I lift my voice. Something happened to me that hadn't happened before. It was like all of a sudden, the sounds were coming out of my mouth, but I wasn't making them. It was like I was standing on my feet. Well, I was on my feet, but I wasn't standing. It was like I was in that place, and all of a sudden, I was aware of nothing but God. There have been moments in my life since that time of a similar nature. And I hope you've had moments like that too. But the truth is that with Christ in you, there's a part of our mind, a part of our awareness that can be always aware of God. So let me just invite you to go deep this month. To let Christ dig out some stuff from you that needs to come out. To expand your soul through the knowledge of him. And then just to claim the fact that he is filling you up. In fact, let me ask you right now, just to bow your heads for a moment. And prayerfully, I want to speak some words to you. I want to remind you that your soul is deep. Deep enough to be filled with God. God in Christ, Christ in you. Let him fill you. Let him clean you out of all your failures and guilt and shame. Let him remove from you your pride and complacency. And then let him enter the emptiness of your deepened soul and fill you daily with his powerful presence. I hope you're feeling a little hungry this morning. We have the privilege together of joining a meal Jesus gave us. It's a meal that symbolizes his body broken for us and his blood shed for us on the cross. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to come on forward to these elements here. We've got flat bread similar to what Jesus would have used 2,000 years ago. We've got some grape juice. And I just want to invite you to live out Christ in you. Jesus gives the bread to his disciples on the night before he's crucified, and he says, here's my body broken for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me. He says, after dinner, he takes a cup and he says, take and drink this. This is my blood, the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this every time you drink of it in remembrance of me. Jesus offers these things to his disciples, and they take it into them. And today, I want you to do it in symbolic fashion, to take Christ into you. Before you come up, ask Christ to empty your soul, to cleanse you out. And then come up here to this place You don't have to be a quote-unquote member of this church. You don't have to be a regular attender of this church. But if you can, by coming, make two simple claims. Number one, Jesus, I want you to cleanse me and empty me. And number two, Jesus, I want you to fill me and guide me. If you can say those two things, then this meal is for you. I invite you to just take a little piece of bread, dip it in the grape juice, and then either eat it right here or step off to the side for a time of personal prayer and eat it as you feel ready, and then return to your seat. We'll come out from your right-hand side across the front and then back up the left-hand aisle here. So let me just pray for us as we enter into this spiritual moment. Lord Jesus, I'm convinced that something deep happens here when we share this meal. Something deeper than we understand. So I pray right now, as we eat this together, you would cause it to sink deep into our souls and expand our hearts into knowing more of you in us. Father in heaven, would you bless this meal and make it true spiritual food to strengthen our souls so that Jesus can enter in the way he deserves to take charge of our lives. We pray this in his powerful name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our Creator, our Reconciler, our Redeemer, and our Filler and Daily Companion. In his name.
As you're ready. It is finished.
We're going to sing a couple more songs just reflecting on what Jesus has done for us. And as we sing this first one, we're going to take our offering. And if this is your first time with us, then please, your gift to us is that communication card, that response card that's in your bulletin. Jot down some thoughts on that, particularly let us know how God is at work in your life right now and what He's speaking to you, what He's said to you so far in this service. If you are a regular around here and it's time for you to make some commitment, a decision, then I want to invite you to go ahead and put down something on that card to say, I'm making a commitment today. Maybe you've never been baptized before and you want to go public with your connection with Jesus. You can mark that today on your card. Maybe today is the day you need to just simply say, Jesus, I made the commitment to you today. And put that down on your card as well so that I can be praying for you this week. But let's just worship God with the greatness of all that Jesus has done for us this morning. We're going to sing the song, Jesus Paid It All, and we'll take our offering during that. So let's pray for our offering first. Lord God, we just want to thank you for giving so much to us. We have no comprehension of how much it costs you to give what you've given, to pay what you've paid for us on our behalf. And so we just thank you for being so good to us. And we return to you this morning these gifts. Would you receive them? Would you use them for your purposes in this world? And through them to make this church a shining light in this community. Thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
sun. God on high, step down into time. Wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember. You and I are made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are given and free. You and I embrace surrender. You and I choose to believe. You and I will see who we were meant to be.
God wants to do something amazing in your heart and in your life this month, this week, today. Enter, allow him to enter in, open your heart to him, and just see what amazing, wonderful things he's about to accomplish in us, in you. God bless you. Go in his name and in his power this week.